Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 615, Dare to Compare, recorded live on February 1st, 2018. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I am your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we are back, and we actually have a community update posted again 1 hour before our show. But we also have a special guest with us, our first guest of 2018. And it's actually been a while since we've had a guest on the show, but we are pleased to welcome Justin from the YouTube channel Eckhart's Ladder. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much, guys. I didn't know I was the first guest of 2018. I feel rather special now.
Yeah, and it's been a few months, I want to say, before since we had our last guest. I think we had quite a bit on during the PAX show and then a couple during the fall season. But yeah, you have the seat is nice and warm for you to enter into 2018 on. So thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for having me. I remember reading about the Podtacular podcast back on Bungie.net in the day, so it's quite an honor from my end.
We've been around for quite a while.
Still going strong, so.
As you can tell, we're in episode 615.
Yeah, that's very impressive.
And it is a little crazy by my standards, too, because I've been doing it for a long time. But we're going to get to Justin here in a little bit, do our little interview as we usually do with all our first-time guests, but we're going to go over the recent community update that got posted. Nothing big as far as news. There was a MCC development update that was posted by Sketch yesterday, which we'll actually talk in a separate podcast because that will probably be its own hour and a half long discussion. So we won't bore people with the details with that tonight, but we'll have another podcast here pretty soon to talk about that. Everything in the update is mostly product and merchandise related, and then a couple of HCS and weapon tuning stuff as well. So starting from the top, some new Halo Funko figures are finally out on store shelves. These were announced probably, I want to say 3 or 4 weeks ago. It was a new line of Halo Funkos, and they're finally out on store shelves. Master Chief, Arby, ODST, and Sergeant Johnson are all out there from your favorite Funko retailers, which is pretty much everywhere.
They've got Sarge with and without a cigar, I noticed, which is a real nice taste and a nice touch, I think.
It is. Oh, GT, there's another Godzilla in here.
Imagine that.
Thank you, Godzilla Gaming, for the follow. We also have some new die-cast figures from Nanotech. These were also shown, I think, actually these may have been last week when these were announced, but they're little die cast figures. They're pretty detailed too. I know a lot of the figures that we've seen from Weather Workshop and a lot of the other kind of big name retailers and figure designers are usually have a price tag, but these are small little die cast figures. They're barely an inch and a half tall, and they're not going to be too expensive, so if you're looking for some detailed figures, these probably are going to be a good place to start if you're looking just for a small kind of Halo collection. There's a range of figures, including Cortana, Atriox, Vale, Arbiter, and June, and a whole bunch more. A pretty good starting set, actually.
Yeah, not too bad.
Halo 2 Master Chief. With the SMGs.
Master Chief.
Dual SMGs. Yeah.
Looks like they have an Halo 3 Master Chief in there as well.
I don't know if that's a Master Chief. I guess it could be. It's hard to tell just from the picture. It could be. But yeah, you also have Emil. You have June in there.
Or maybe it's a Halo 4 Master Chief. No codpiece.
Aw. RIP. RIP.
Space COD piece, I just remember how big of an issue that was, like how many discussions over Master Chief's chalk, basically.
It was weird to see how much attention that small detail got in the community.
That and like black undersuits, I remember two of the biggest controversies or I guess the lack of black undersuits. Just crazy, the things that the community fixates on. I mean, I don't blame them, but...
Right. It's, I mean, but it's like, you touch even the smallest thing with the universe.
Look to it, yeah.
And people will just flip out.
It's like it's a direct assault on nostalgia, almost.
Yeah. But it's all good.
Oh, yeah. Agreed.
Stay with me here, chat. The Stream.io chat box is tripling messages. It used to just double message, but now it's tripling messages, so I'm going to replace it just with the Mixer chat, so it's not all crowded in the screen. So apologies for the live stream.
But it makes it look like there's lots of people in the stream.
Yeah, but then by the time some of the stuff actually gets to the top, because it's being pushed over by three times the messages, you don't get to read the whole thing if you're just watching the video. That's taken care of now. Back to the update. Minecraft is now on the Nintendo Switch and has the Skin Pack 1, so in a really small way, there's Halo now on Nintendo through Minecraft.
Master Chief confirmed.
I'm still waiting for Halo Portable.
Oh my god.
what was the one DS game that they were making? Was it Halo 2600 or something?
Yeah, something like that.
That was bizarre.
Or was it? No, that was on an Atari 2600. One of the games was.
Was the DS thing, was that legit, or was that a reskin?
They were legitimately developing a DS, Nintendo DS game, but somebody actually did a Halo game for the Atari 2600.
Wow. I've never seen that before.
I don't know if I've heard of that before. Was that like a side-scroller Halo type of thing?
Well, you remember Legend of Zelda? The original The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah.
Kind of like a sort of top. I've never played it,
but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was a top-down type shooter. It was like Spartan Assault, except for, you know, you couldn't move in like diagonals. You had to go up or over. Or...
They didn't have the Spartan technology.
And pretty much everything was a one-shot kill.
So lore accurate is what you're saying.
Including the Spartan?
You get hit by one little bullet. I guess they didn't have shields back then. It must have been the Spartan 1 program.
But yeah, there was something similar on the DS as well.
Yeah, I thought that was Halo 2600.
No, Halo 2600 was actually on the 2600.
I'll look it up real quick.
Just says Halo DS. I just did the same thing.
Yeah, Halo 2600 was for the Atari 2600. Oh yeah, I guess it's just called Halo DS. And it's weird that they were working on... I don't think it was Bungie that was working on that for the DS,
right? I don't
think
so either. No,
it was both of them were done by people outside of Bungie.
I feel like they were done by the Metroid guys, but I don't remember. I don't know why that's in my memory, but I just remember... Like, seeing that made me want to buy a DS, even though I knew I could never get it.
It was interesting because I wouldn't have even assumed the DS could handle something like that.
No. Although, I mean, the Metroid game was, I don't even remember the name of it, but I remember my buddy had it and was pretty playable. Pretty good, actually, I think. So.
I mean, I don't know what you'd expect out of a DS game, but I don't expect much.
Nope. Not as far as like that detail in graphics, no.
Yeah, G. Lewis, you don't want to see me in VR. I'm sorry. you just don't want to see me in VR.
Well, and instead of Halo being unofficially on Nintendo, now it's officially on Nintendo just through another game.
Yeah, just in a roundabout way.
Yeah. Next in the community update is a little bit on the Halo World Championship. They've announced the streamers for the Orlando Open, which is going to be February 16th through the 18th, and the London Finals, which it's crazy to think that the London Finals are actually almost here. That's going to be February 23rd through 25th, and it's actually nice to see that Golden Boy is going to be at both of those, because I remember back in the winter time, he was saying that he wasn't going to be casting for Halo at all. Looks like they're bringing him back into the fold, so it's cool to have him back in there. You got some of the regulars like The Sims, Bravo, Strongside, Walshy, Elamite, Lethal, Wonderboy, and Butters, I think is he's new to kind of like the mainstream. I think he's part of the Latin American or Mexican caster team. That's the caster lineup for the first two events for Halo World Championship. And they're going to be releasing some of the skins alongside the finals for each respective region. So the UK will get their skins leading up to the London finals. Australians will get their skins leading up to the Sydney finals. Mexico during the up to the Mexico finals, and then the US and Canada going up to the Columbus finals. And then we all wrap up in Seattle in the middle of April. It's actually not too far away. It's 2.5 months, if you can believe it or not.
It's amazing how time flies. It's hard to believe that January is already gone.
I know. It's so Thank weird God. It's February. Yes, let's get to a little more productivity in the Halo side of things.
Yeah, we're basically scrounging for scraps now. It's been pretty brutal a little bit there.
It's like, we'll take crumbs, please.
Oh, we've got us looking back at the Halo 5 trailer now. Like, that's how desperate we are.
Yeah. Thank you, Hidden Xperia.
Yeah, thank you.
The next thing on the update is the featured playlist for... Well, it's actually not featured, but it's the new rotational playlist. It is...
No, it's the featured playlist.
So when I was in there today, it was not the featured playlist. Quick Play was still the featured playlist.
It is now.
Okay. So
it's got the little star next to it.
Okay. So that changed since I played it this afternoon about 4 hours ago. So the featured playlist now is Extermination. It replaced Castle Wars. So hope everyone had fun splattering people with warthogs and slicing people with swords.
I'd rather have Castle Wars.
Yeah, me too. Especially for some of the accommodations. Especially flying from 10,000 feet up and just ground pounding someone. Or sticking someone, getting a lucky stick. Extermination is out, and that is the game mode where it's breakout, and you have to 15-second respawn, and the objective is to completely eliminate the other team to where there's no one left, and then you win that round. It's kind of a...
Breakout's got to be one of the best new Halo 5 additions, I think. Like, that quick Counter-Strike sort of, like, you know, 2-minute round, it just works so well for Halo, where the controls and everything are so tight.
The downside of it is they didn't get picked up very well at launch. I mean,
no, it didn't.
There's plenty of customs around the breakout mode that actually work really well, but the breakout concept itself as being this new competitive mode never got picked up.
Yeah, I thought it would, because it's basically, you know, it's got the even starts that everyone wanted. It's got, well, it's like the best situation for team communication. Everyone's always kind of hounding on 343 for more competitive modes, and this I thought would be it. But like, my buddies and I, we'd get on Xbox Live Party Chat, and you know, when we were just playing Game of Slayer, the tactics weren't always there. But when we were playing Breakout, it was like, you know, we were a group of SEALs or something. So I was really surprised, like, the mode never took off more.
I think part of the reason is they pushed the competitive portion of it too hard.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, you know, I get it, they wanted to have a real competitive mode, but I think they just pushed it as a too much of a competitive, and, you know, nobody really went into it.
From a esports perspective, though, I didn't think it works really well with the current Halo formula, with how it is still that you have the respawn and it's the 50. I mean, that's how a lot of the Halo previously has been, and that's kind of a drastic change to go from
right
respawn, and it's because it's a completely different strategy, and you have no other
no
game type that
control,
supports
really.
That. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the competitive Halo is largely about map control and like line of sight and stuff, especially on the older small maps or even the newer small maps. And I guess you're right, Breakout kind of throws that out the window, but I mean, it's so fun. I think it wasn't one of the first like real gameplay reveals we got to, wasn't it? At least, if not Breakout, on a Breakout map. Like, I remember when they were showing off like Clamber and Ground Pound and everything. I think it was in a game of Breakout or something, and everyone was like, what's with this weird new Tron aesthetic that they're going with?
Yeah, yeah. It was actually a Blur cinematic. Blur, but it was basically in the Breakout Arena.
Right.
So, yeah, they touted that, and they actually promoted that during the press tour, I guess, when they did their press stuff right before the alpha or the first public beta.
Right. Yeah.
And Breakout was a big thing. And I remember that. I had a lot of fun when with press with that.
I played a lot more Halo 3 than Halo 4. Like, by the time Halo 5 came around, I was a bit more warm on the idea of playing, you know, that much multiplayer. And then I remember when Breakout came, I was like telling all my buddies who had kind of moved away from the series a little bit that, like, this is going to be the thing that gets us up playing until like 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. It's still had a lot of fun time, but it wasn't, ultimately I was hoping for a bit more longevity with the game mode.
Yeah. Hey, G. Lewis, remember the Podtacular face-off stuff that we tried to do a little while ago? Breakout would have been perfect for this. We tried to do a little community one-on-one tournament ladder type of thing back in the Halo 3 days when I first picked up the podcast back in 2008, 2009. It never really took off because of people's schedules and not being there on time and not enough interest. So kind of the combination of those didn't.
Sort of hard to organize that stuff anyways when you're dealing with consoles. Like, there's a bit more, just hard to get everyone in the right place at the right time.
Definitely is. Next in the update is some weapon tuning stuff. I'm not going to go into the details. You can read up on it if you want. Of course, the battle rifle is still getting retuned since the last tuning update. Poor battle rifle. It's always getting looked at and dissected and changed up. I don't think it's ever going to get a break.
Well, you know, when they nerf it to the point that the pistol's more effective, I think you took it too far.
Just a little bit. I don't know. I don't remember this many weapon changes in the past Halo games, but then again, we've never really had a system where you could dynamically change these elements so frequently and so easily, which I think that's just a testament to how they redesigned the engine to where they could make those tweaks and they can actually do it without complete overhauls, but still, he's up on the changes.
Yeah, on the battle rifle, about all they needed to do was just change the damage fall-off curve after red reticle range. Everything else was fine. It was just, the problem was it was too universal.
And I understand where they're trying to kind of differentiate that out. I think one of the problems, though, is there's too many weapons in the sandbox now.
Mm-hmm.
And every weapon feels like it has to be viable. I don't know if that's the right approach to game design. Like, I do like how the pistol, like when you start with the pistol, you don't feel like you're totally gimped or anything. Like, you can, you know, take someone on if you have the skill, but everything being viable just ends up making, you know, every weapon kind of like a reskinned version of something else in a way.
Or it functions just a little bit differently, but at that point you're still looking at, okay, which weapon's going to be the better weapon? Okay, people are going to go to this weapon more. And I can appreciate them trying to balance out everything to where everything has a specific utility, but I mean, once you have so many weapons in the game, it's there's going to be favorites. You're not going to be able to balance out every weapon.
Yeah, absolutely. I do kind of like the battle rifle DMR relationship in the game. I think they did that really right for like the first time, maybe. But yeah, there's still maybe more limited sandbox in Halo 6. Yeah.
There's also the carbine, the DMR, since we're talking about it, storm rifle and brute plasma pistol. They're doing some internal tests with that, so there'll be more tuning for that. And then there's a lot of feedback regarding the Magnum and the sniper rifle, which we'll also probably get a look at as well. There's a new 343 team spotlight featuring Mark Snyder, who does a lot of stuff with the HCS and esports side of Halo, kind of appropriate, being we're in the Halo World Championship stuff. So if you want to read that interview, then head on over to the update. There's also a few different radar blips couple of important things to note. The final Rise of Atriox comic comes out on February 7th. Kiki is going to be at Silicon Valley Comic Con April 6th through 8th, which is actually in between the U.S. Finals and the Halo World Championship. So for those in Salt Lake, you can see her there. And then finally, there's a few community spotlight things. There's a live action video that Halo Codex has shared. There's some more screenshots. I think my favorite set of screenshots for this week is the absent one by one or by Rest. Power weapons, fire. I don't know what kind of armor that is. I couldn't identify one armor for the other. That pretty much wraps up the update.
It's really nice. The community spotlight thing is probably one of the, well, not maybe one of the best things, but it's a nice thing that 343 does. Like, as a game company, I find them to be so accessible to content creators and just the community. Like, when I do Star Wars stuff on my channel, I don't have a hope in hell of, you know, contacting Disney or Lucasfilm or anybody. But, like, with Halo, you know, I can message Jeff or Bravo or, like, whoever, and they respond. Like, they're responsive. You know, I've had my stuff shared in the community spotlight. Like, it's nice that it feels like they actually have kind of their fingers on the pulse of the community, which is important for, you know, a game like Halo, which has always been so community-based.
Yeah, and I think a big part of that really comes from the fact that a lot of the community people that are there now came from the community.
Yeah, exactly. The old MLG days, so many of those guys are involved one way or another. And, like, it makes sense with, like, you know, the loss of Bungie. You know, Halo's, like, such a series that's sort of rooted in, like, what's old. And, you know, with the loss of a lot of the guys from the original teams and a lot of the girls from the original team, like, it makes sense that they go to the community to kind of bring those old roots back in a way, if that makes any sense.
I definitely agree. I think it's one of the things that really helps. And I know there's still areas of the Halo community that aren't as favorable to 343, but I mean, look at it this way. Either 343 keeps making Halo, or we wouldn't even have a Halo past Halo,
exactly.
Halo Reach.
And it's not like there's nothing that can be done to, like, you know, it's the same with Star Wars. And, like, I won't talk too much about Star Wars in the podcast, but, you know, it's the same thing. People fear change is going to somehow ruin what they loved about their childhood. You know, if you don't like Halo 4, it doesn't mean that Halo 3 is any worse off now. And, like, 343 is doing their best. Like, have they made some mistakes along the way? Sure. But I mean,
every developer does.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's like, oh, they got the Halo license. It's basically a license to print free money. But I mean, there's that. But it's also, you know, you change Master Chief's armor and you've got, you know, thousands and tens of thousands of people who want your head on a stick, right? It is kind of an opportunity, but you're also walled in a way. And, you know, they're trying. And
it's really nice to see them continue to do so. It's one of the things that makes me proud to be part of the Halo community.
Me too. With the way Bungie has gone since they've moved away from Halo, I'm actually kind of glad they got out of it.
You better be careful. That's sacrilege to some people.
You know, and it's not so much what they've done with the game, just the decisions that have been made internally in Bungie. You know, I'm not knocking Bungie because, you know, as a company grows, things change. It's a fact of life. You can't help it. The company's base mission changes. You know, I don't want anybody to threaten to cut any body parts off of me for saying that, but, you know, I mean, you take a really good look at it, if Bungie was still doing Halo games, where would we be?
Some of it is definitely the kind of modern reality of making these, like, ultra AAA games, too. Like, it's not, you know, 2001 anymore. It's not even 2007 anymore. Like, making a game is not what it used to be. It seems to be a lot more expensive. There's a lot more people involved. Like, publishers are involved in ways they've never been before. And I guess it's like games are so expensive to make. It's like DLC is, like, the norm now, and maybe it has to be. Like, I don't know, like, how tight the budgets are here, but I mean, And it's also not like, you know, Microsoft could make, or sorry, 343 could make the perfect game and it wouldn't be Halo 3 anymore, just because people can't, there's too many competitors now. Like no game will ever dominate like it used to back in the day, I don't think, just because it's just the way things are now. So to expect developers not to adapt and to change, even if it's not necessarily change that the user likes, I think is probably unrealistic.
Well, the gamer themselves have changed since 2001. Yeah. The typical gamer's attention span is about the size of a gnat's.
Okay, continue with that.
It's not necessarily
too late.
A bad thing. There's so many choices out there for that are competing for that gamer's attention.
Absolutely.
And it's not just shooters. You know, there are so many indie titles out there, AAA games. I mean, just look at the Xbox Live Game Store. Look at all
there's
those
games. There's a lot of saturation out there.
Every one of those games on some level is competing with Halo.
Multiplayer wise, it's just as crazy because you've got, you know, like you've got an Overwatch and, you know, Counter-Strike, and you've got those like the big guys, but then you have, you know, whatever new flavors of the day are out there. And like, again, going back to like Halo 3, it's like, you know, there was competition. I mean, there was Call of Duty, but I mean, if you were an Xbox gamer, like, what else was there really? I mean, so I kind of understand. And again, it's not like when's the last time you've really seen a game have the kind of story-driven marketing strategy that Halo 3 had, like the diorama marketing piece and everything else? Like, I guess, you know, Halo 5 actually came kind of not, maybe not close because it wasn't near the same scale, but with like the podcast stuff they did, the audiobook stuff they did, it was, I guess, kind of in a similar vein, but it's just like six times smaller.
The Hunt the Truth stuff.
Yeah, Hunt the Truth. That's right. Thank you.
No, yeah. You know, Microsoft definitely dropped some money on, you know, advertising Halo 5. Too bad they advertised their own game.
It was Halo 6 all along.
But it doesn't, you know, I will say they spent less money advertising Halo 3, but that's just because everything was cheaper. If they did that same marketing campaign today, you know, it would be ungodly expensive.
Well, oh, yeah. They spent quite a bit on Halo 3 because the ad stuff for Halo 3 was actually supposed to be the movie.
Well, some
and they
of
just
it.
Recycled. We did, yeah, they just recycled some of that and put it into ads for Halo 3.
I didn't know that. Oh, like the Neil Blomkamp stuff, like the shorts. Yeah, I figured that was the case. I was thinking like the diorama stuff.
And oh no, just the Blomkamp stuff. Yeah, the diorama stuff was specifically 343, or not specifically Halo 3.
Gotcha.
But yeah, the overall advertising package that was put together for Halo 3, I don't think a video game could support these days.
No, I don't think so. Especially like, and Halo 3 had what, three expansions and a free one as well. No microtransactions.
Technically four.
No, four, yeah. But I mean, they eventually gave them away, I believe. Like, man, it's
yeah, it's about crazy. 4 months ago.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. But
yeah, after it.
But I mean, know, after, I mean, comparatively, you know, no loot boxes, no.
Yeah, and you know, we've discussed microtransactions several times.
And we're going to again pretty soon because it's a current topic of discussion in the Halo community and the greater gaming community.
Of all the systems that are currently out there, Halo 5's is the least intrusive.
Oh, agreed. 100%.
I'm not saying it's not intrusive, but it's the least intrusive. You can play the game without microtransactions. You can easily attain everything in the rec packs that you actually need as far as weapons without buying a single rec pack. It will take you a long time. It took me a little over, I don't know, how long has it been since I did my last opening?
Oh, geez.
It took
middle
me
of last year?
You know, from the first time I played Halo 5 to the end, I think it took me a year and a half or year and 3 months to unlock everything. Now, I did buy some packs, but most of those packs were cosmetic stuff. you know, helmet packages or like the Voices of War pack that give you different announcer voices. And there is stuff in the game that you cannot unlock unless you buy packs. You know, the HCS skin packs are a prime example. You know, those can only be purchased. And that's totally fine for me.
Because well, and those now directly support the teams that you're buying them for.
Right. You know, those I totally get. You know, because, you know, for me, there's none of them I want. So, you know, I don't want them in my random rec pool anyway. But for the people that really want those skins, they can just buy them. And they have no effect on gameplay. You know, that's fine. I just, you know, I have a problem with customization options being locked behind a paywall or a random loot box.
Yeah.
So are they still supporting the Halo like championships with the proceeds from rec packs? Because I thought at least when they were doing that, that was a great way to sort of give back.
I don't think they are anymore.
I think a portion of the money still goes there, just not as big of a chunk as it used to.
I mean, it's a good way to kind of get the community going, and you kind of, even if it is ultimately, you know, just a small portion, it at least feels a little bit less greasy, if you know what I mean.
And, I mean, that's one of the things that, for the first Halo World Championship back in 2016, the rec packs directly funded it. And I think now they probably fund it in a way where, okay, Microsoft gets the money from the rec stuff and it kind of goes in the big pool, and that big pool serves out the cash prize for it. So in a way, it's probably helping fund it, but just not directly.
I mean, I feel like it's a reality now. Like, as consumers, if you want to make a stink, like, all power to you. But I mean, ultimately, this is kind of the reality of these massive AAA plus multiplayer shooters. Like, it seems to be it seems to be the only thing that's viable for these game development companies with these, like, perhaps bloated, but at least tremendously large staff and, you know, budget. Like, maybe it's the only option nowadays.
And I think they did it smartly, because it doesn't affect what has traditionally been Halo. The only thing that it really affects is customization and then weapons in Warzone, which Warzone was a completely separate thing. It's outside campaign, outside of traditional competitive. It was the new thing.
One thing I need to clarify before we get too far away from it. When I say customization, I basically mean your personal identity. Like your emblem and your, you know, your service tag, things like that. Armor has always been an unlockable. You know, anything over the base armor has always been some type of unlockable. Whether you buy it with Spartan points or you get it in a random rec pack, or you have to do something specific to unlock it. Armor, I don't have
jump
a
off
problem.
A cliff and melee an elite.
Yeah, right. Exactly. For 2.5 hours until you get it right.
Oh, God.
But the things that identify, you know, that have kind of become part of your identity through the Halo years, you know, your emblem, your service tag, you know, those over the time become your identity. And to put that behind the random number generator is really, really irritating.
Just from like a personal, like I've got some of my buddies, you know, they were big into Halo 2 and Halo 3, and then they, you know, will hop on Halo 5 and they want to use like the snake, the picture of the snake, and I think that's now locked behind a rec pack or something, and like, I could be wrong, but I think it is, but like not being able to just use that right away when that's like kind of one thing that ties their character, you know, back to the old days is kind of, it's kind of a questionable decision. Like, not everything needs to be unlocked. Like you said, things that are kind of tied to your personality or your avatar and throughout the games is probably something that should be just there.
Well, it's like in Halo 3, the emblem I had been using in Halo 2 wasn't available. They didn't have it in Halo 3.
Oh, every emblem from game to game has been different for me.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I have used the same emblem. Well, I've used the same emblem in Halo 2 and Halo 5 now. In Halo's In Halo 3, I had to change it. Yeah. Halo 3, Halo Reach, and Halo 4, I had to use a different one.
What emblem is it? I'm curious now.
I used the Flaming Ninja in Halo 5.
Okay.
Halo 3, Reach, and Halo 4, it was a Flaming Spartan helmet.
Gotcha.
It's just, you know, in Halo 2, I found this, you know, I found the Flaming Ninja and I loved it. You know, I just liked the way it looked. And it kind of became a part of me. And when I couldn't use that in Halo 3, I was kind of crushed.
Yeah, man. Definitely. Because it's just like, yeah, you lose your, you know, your persona there a little bit.
Well, and you would hope that a lot of the emblems would kind of go from game to game. That identity would be able to be maintained throughout each iteration of the game.
You'd think so, yeah.
And it's probably the way this worked is in Halo Reach, I just didn't bother to look real hard for the Flaming Ninja. Bobby in the chat's telling me that it was in Halo 3 and it was in Halo Reach, but I don't remember it being in Halo 3. That's just me.
Well, and I could see maybe most of the emblems are there by default. But then maybe you have some emblems that are specific to the game, and then those are locked behind Rex. So, like, if you complete a campaign on Legendary, then you get a specific emblem, like the Legendary difficulty symbol or something like that.
Yeah, that's a good kind of compromise.
Some small set of emblems that make sense to be behind some kind of either achievement or commendation or rec. But don't lock out everything that's been traditionally part of the established emblem and identity customization. Maybe stuff like
that. Yeah, that's definitely a good compromise there. And then if the emblem's popular, you can always bring it into the next game just by default too.
Well, we've rambled on a lot about the update with our little tangent, so apologies about that. Let's go ahead and talk about Eckhart's Ladder. As we do with all of our guests, we have an initial question that is how you got interested in the Halo community and what do you do around Halo now? So first question is, how did you get interested in Halo to start off with?
It's one of those things where like this, I don't know. There was a time back when everybody, my local game store, or it wasn't even a game store. It was like a convenience store that happened to rent out Xboxes. Not just Xbox games, but actually Xboxes for the night.
Was it a Blockbuster?
No, it was like a mom and pop like pizza shop. It was like a pizza shop / variety store / like you could rent DVDs there.
Oh, okay. Like a like a Country Mart or something like that.
Yeah, sort of. It was just like its own thing. Like it wasn't a chain or anything. But they had like probably two or three original Xboxes. And you'd get like this big duffel bag with it. Like I'm sure that this was something that like they weren't licensed to do this. They just bought some Xboxes and were renting them out by the night or whatever.
Sure.
I remember everybody was renting this game Halo, and I had no idea what it was. The way they explained it to me, I expected it to be like a modern, you know, shooter. And a couple of my buddies had just gotten, like, this was very early on after the game released. So I rented it for the night, just like everyone else did. And I remember I got halfway through the first level on the Pillar of Autumn, and I couldn't figure out how to jump over one of those columns that fell over. And I ended up going to my buddy's house, and I forgot about it. Didn't even finish it. Then like a week later, I was like, I don't know. I don't get what the big hype about this game is. And then I came back and I beat the first level, which, to be honest, is not an amazing way to start the game off. Like the first level is okay, but. But then the second level, like actually on Halo itself, when you get out and you look up on the skybox, you see Threshold, you see the ring above you, you know, the music comes on, the Banshees fly in, and like ever since then, I was basically hooked. I was always a fan of Star Wars and science fiction, and Halo to me was like something completely new and awesome. Basically, ever since that moment, I've been completely addicted. And that, like, not only was like the story awesome, but you know, some of my most fond memories are getting all the guys together and playing, you know, System Link, having four people on one TV, four people on the other TV, and ever since then, really, I've been big into the community. Yeah, here I am. So I have a YouTube channel now. I focus mostly on Star Wars, but I do make the semi-occasional Halo video, and I try to participate in the community as much as I can.
Very nice, and we'll get into that in a little bit. I know for the most part, for people, at least our crowd, we've been hyping up you being a guest for a little while, so everyone that's probably listening now has probably checked out your YouTube channel at least already.
Well, thank you.
Give us a little primer on what it is your channel is about.
Right. So, as I said, I do a lot of Star Wars stuff. If you can't tell, I'm a bit of a nerd, and I have been, for my entire life.
Aren't we all?
That's why we're here. I remember as a kid, I was supposed to be in this paddling class, like just like the local, canoe club or kayak club, whatever. And I used to pretend I was sick so I could read the old Halo novels, like the original ones. My channel is basically, it's mostly Star Wars. I'd say probably, if I do 10 videos, 9 are Star Wars. I like to talk about not like just standard lore stuff, but, kind of the ignored aspects of the lore, kind of the funnier, the weirder stuff that most people don't cover. And, with Halo, I don't have the same depth of knowledge, but I'm a huge fan. So whenever I get to talk about something that I think people aren't doing, that's when I kind of will make a video. I like to talk mostly about the ships and the weapons and the technology more than anything else.
Yeah, and your latest few videos, actually your latest Halo one is the 5 deadliest elite Covenant military units. That's elite being like the elite class, not the actual race. And then
not the Sangyu.
And then your latest comparison Halo one is plot armor, which I really enjoyed that video.
I'm glad. Yeah, that one, it's just like whenever I can bring, like I feel like it's nice to do Halo stuff and really anything other than Star Wars, because I feel like I'm reaching a whole new audience. And whenever you can kind of bring these universes together and kind of compare them in fun ways is really enjoyable for me. But it's also kind of dangerous, because one of the things I do on my channel is versus. So I'll put like a specific spaceship against another one. And if a fan's universe lose, they can be very angry. Somebody spoiled... Someone spoiled The Last Jedi for me. They sent me a Discord message because they didn't like, at least I think, because they didn't like one of the matchups I did. And when you've got, like, say, Star Wars versus Halo, it's just like that gets even more so, because people are like, oh, we're fighting for our franchise. If Star Wars wins, that means Halo's worse, or vice versa.
It's funny that, well, I guess not funny. That kind of makes sense with it being the internet. But for me personally, I like seeing the comparisons, and it's more just informational. I think
absolutely. It's
not necessarily about which one wins or not. It's just, this is how this universe is designed, and this is how this universe is designed, and this is how they compare to each other.
Exactly. That's like the entire thing. I mean, it's literally comparing, like, you don't have the same base level. You're comparing, again, I go back to Star Wars because that's what I know. It's basically a science fantasy universe, with Halo, which is something, a bit more grounded at times, but also pretty fantastical in its own way. So, but it's fun. I mean, that's like what every, good nerd does. Like, they spend time shooting it with their friends, talking about, like, I remember staying up late with my buddy. My friend Alex and I, we used to have sleepovers and talk about, oh, would the UNSC be able to beat the Empire? Which ship is stronger? Or, just imagining these scenarios in our head. And like, that's, I think every sci-fi aficionado at one point has done that. So I feel very, very lucky that I get to make this stuff. This is my job. This is what I do as a living. It's basically like a dream come true.
Have you ever thought about stirring the pot and adding Star Trek in there?
I actually have had a couple of Star Trek videos.
Oh, okay.
To be honest, I don't know a lot about Star Trek. Like, I don't like to do content that I'm not like, my kind of personal motto is, if I'm just reading something off a wiki, there's not really a whole lot that I'm adding, because, you can do that yourself. So I don't like to cover a topic if I can't, add my own expertise or, my own knowledge to the mix. And really, I don't know much about Star Trek, but I've featured the Borg cube in a couple of videos, and Oh, I did. I featured one of the Enterprises in another video too. So that really, that really did stir the pot. But it's fun.
I bet it's probably. I don't know what emotion do you get more whenever you see people like really passionate about a video? Is it like a rite of passage where it's like I'm doing something good here, or is it more like okay I really want to make sure these people don't know my address so they don't come and don't come and beat me up.
It is kind of cool to see people argue over your work, like even if it is you know, about the science fiction universe. It is kind of cool to see people get so passionate about something you create. But I mean, I've seen some pretty vile stuff directed towards me, like people. And a lot of it is just, you know, the demographic. I remember when I was, you know, a bit younger and a bit more angry. I understand the kind of frustration, especially when it's like, you know, why are you even doing this? I feel like I know more than you do. So yeah, but it is a bit of both, but I understand where it's coming from. I try not to engage too much, although I do sometimes fail at that. Ultimately, these people are your viewers, so you know they allow me to do this. You know, good comments or bad, they do allow me to do what I'm doing professionally, so to speak.
Well, it's like, if you don't like it, then start your own YouTube channel.
Exactly, and you know, if you have the passion, like when I started... When I started my YouTube channel, like I'm still a pretty crappy editor, but I didn't have I used to record on my cell phone, my audio on my cell phone, and edit in like basically Windows Movie Maker. I really feel like if you have the knowledge and the drive, you can definitely, and I encourage people, like if it's something that you really want to do, just start doing it. And you never know, like I started in February and now I feel like I'm part of the community. So it's pretty awesome. Anyone can do it.
It takes a lot of time being a YouTuber, though. So,
oh my God, yes. Especially where the hardest part is when you're getting started and you've got a full-time job or school or something and you're competing against, you know, guys like me now, I guess, who get to spend their entire day doing it, like who's put 40 or 50 or 60 hours a week doing it. Like, that's not really realistic when you're starting off. So, I guess regardless, a little bit of luck is needed to really take hold and actually be able to produce content for a living.
And it's really just finding a niche where you can really thrive and there's enough people that are interested in the stuff that you're going to be making.
That's 100% right. One of the reasons that I kind of really started on YouTube was there was a specific video that I wanted to watch that wasn't created yet. And like I noticed that there was a lot of videos kind of like this that hadn't been made. And I'd been thinking about starting a YouTube channel for a while, but I really realized that even in 2018 or 2017 when I started, that there was this big area where no one was making content and I felt like I had the knowledge to do so. And there's still areas of Star Wars that are completely untouched. There's still areas of Halo. There's still areas in gaming. So really, you got to find a niche and then find a niche within that niche. So like when I started, I really focused on, you know, the old Star Wars expanded universe and spaceships and, you know, kind of videos that weren't being made. If you can do the same thing, like you can find like-minded people. And you'll get an audience. Even if it's small at the beginning, you'll eventually get an audience.
So moving into, it gets a little more the applied stuff to what you've done, is there any particular section of the Halo lore that you really enjoy talking about?
Yeah, I mean...
More so over than any other kind of like general lore?
I mean, it's kind of a boring answer, but I like Human Covenant War... And I really like the ships. Like, I like reading about the battles and the technology, and I don't really know how to describe what I like. I just, like, Halo 3 was my favorite game of all time, probably, and I really like the story kind of as it existed at that point, and I'm not trying to say, you know, screw Halo 4 or anything else. I'm not that kind of person. I still like the lore as it is. But yeah, I like kind of looking into the early Forerunner stuff too, but... I do kind of like, I'm not a huge fan of the post, I guess, post 343 direction the Forerunner took. So, like, I like going back and reading the Halo 3 terminals. I liked when there was a bit more mystery, I guess. And that's, like, the most fantastical element of Halo. Well, I like that. I like but also the military sci-fi is pretty damn cool as well.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of fans out there that once... 343 started exploring the Forerunner stuff and that mystery of who the Forerunners were. it was kind of a little disappointing, especially with the Greg Bear novels.
That was, yeah, I was not a fan of those novels. I forget, there was I don't know if you ever watched the Halo Legends short stories. I think it came out before Halo 4 came out. I forget what it was packaged with, but I think it was one of the first things 343 did. But they had, I believe it was called Origin. It was the first short story, it was like a video. It was the first video in this collection, and it was basically Cortana talking about the ancient history of the Forerunner. Still a lot of mystery, but also kind of talking about like the Flood War and stuff. And I felt like that was the best, along with the Halo 3 terminals, that the Forerunner have ever been handled. And then a bit of mystery, I think, was important. And that was kind of that, like, because that mystery kind of permeated the Halo series as a whole. Like, you had Gravemind saying these things, and it's just like there's this greater importance and this, you know, weightiness to the whole thing that I think was kind of removed when you see that, you know, the Forerunner, what they look like, and you really, you know, you're reading about Bornstellar, and like you're kind of getting that inside look at the Forerunner. I feel like that kind of really, that was one of that. That's definitely my least favorite thing about the new lore. Everything else I'm pretty cool with. I like the Covenant and UNSC kind of interaction post Human Covenant War, but yeah, the way they treated the Forerunners, they're the Forerunners, is not my cup of tea.
I do think for me personally, from the Forerunner trilogy, just how deep the history of the Flood goes. While they did kind of spoil the Forerunner stuff with what they've done with the latest games and the Greg Bear trilogy, they did kind of make that mystery of what is the Flood, to me, a little more deep. And it's like, wow, there's actually a lot more here behind the Flood.
No, I agree 100%.
Like, I still don't understand Star Roads. I still don't understand what those
are. Yeah, and it's kind of weird how, like, the precursors have, like, to me, it's really like what the Forerunner are in your imagination. Like, when you see these giant structures and you read about these, you know, the terminals, which just, you know, you get a snippet into what the Forerunner were actually like. It's your imagination filling in, you know, the blanks and creating this backstory. And it's just nothing that is actually created can ever live up to kind of the mystery that we all kind of create when we see this story come about. But yeah, I do really like what they've done with the Flood. Kind of the way they've handled the Forerunner Flood War. I like that stuff.
Now, what's kind of we mentioned the good side of it, and we mentioned the bad side of it, but from a video making perspective, I know you do kind of a lot of comparison stuff, but what's kind of like your bread and butter when it comes to just doing a Halo video?
That's a good question. I gotta think about that, but I mean, you're somewhat limited by what people are interested in. And I find that's really true with Star Wars. Like, I can go, you know, pull out an old Star Wars Marvel comic that, you know, only was produced in the UK from 1981 with the most ludicrous story ever told. And, you know, it's super interesting.
It completely redefines the universe.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, there's stuff in there that, like I've done videos on it, and it's always like, this is what I find interesting. But generally, if I were just doing this as a passion, which it, admittedly it is kind of, my channel when I started was a passion, but now the realities of just doing this as a job, I can only cover certain material. I do still, you know, I will do a few videos a month, you know, 4 or 5 videos a month dedicated to this more kind of esoteric stuff. It's the same with Halo, really. Like, some people will be interested in, you know, the nuances of the precursors or whatever, but ultimately you kind of got to package that stuff into a more widely accessible format. So kind of like where I talk about the nuances of some of the, you know, the Covenant super soldiers. Like, if I was just to make a lore video talking about any one of them, there's not that much interest there. But if you can kind of bring that in into a more accessible format, then people enjoy it. I like talking about that whenever I can, but I mean, my bread and butter would probably be the ships, like the spaceships, talking about the different classes and, you know, doing those versus matchups. I'd say that's probably where most of my views come from.
So did you get Warfleet when it came out then?
I didn't get it right away, but I have it now. That book was ultimately a little disappointing to me.
I can understand that.
Like, I wanted more, you know? Like, there are so many ships that, like, we've got... And they also kind of changed aspects of the lore, like how certain weapons work and stuff. And that's fine. Like, I can understand that. But I'm kind of used to the Star Wars cross-section books, which are always, like, phenomenally well done and have so much detail. Like, I like some of the things that the book introduced, like the fact that the Infinity has a sister ship, or, well, it was never produced, but stuff like that I find really interesting. But I wanted a bit more, I think. But it was certainly a really good first step, and we didn't really see anything like that under Bungie, so, you know, props to 343. I just want more of it.
And when I was there during PAX this past year, they did say there was a lot that they had to cut in order to keep the price down and affordable, and from a timeline perspective, actually being able to meet it, they actually had to end up cutting a lot. And they actually showed us a few things that was going to be in the book, but didn't end up making it. There was also some talk about possibly doing another book if there's enough interest in the future. So it might be that there may be more kind of that stuff down the road. And for you and the rest of the community, if you want something like that, then all you got to do is
make sure you buy the book.
Make sure you buy the first one and tell 343, hey, you like what you're seeing. We want more.
I find it a little strange how, like, space combat generally has been sort of ignored by Halo lore. Like, we see it a little bit in the books, certainly. We see it. There's a few comics which have touched on it, especially. But, I mean, for actual games, we've had basically nothing. I mean, we get touches of it in Halo Reach. We get, like, a few cutscenes in Halo 3, but even then, we're rather limited. It just blows my mind that, like I don't know, I think you've had the Sins of the Prophets guys on your show before. Like, what those guys are doing, like, I'm so surprised that Halo, like, 343 themselves haven't, maybe they are, but how there's never been, like, a full-scale ship game or, like, this, I feel like this, the Warfleet book was the first thing that really kind of catered to this section of the audience, which to me is pretty surprising.
I think, and this is just my take on it, but because Halo is primarily a first-person shooter, there just hasn't been that exploration into that genre. And it's so niche where I don't know if a lot of Halo fans would like playing that kind of game. I mean, RTS was even a stretch for Halo at
Halo
the time.
Halo Wars 2 is probably, like, it will probably hurt the chances of a game like that moving forward, I think.
Yeah, it was one of the things that kind of was, okay, what are you doing here, Halo? And then it was like, okay, we're kosher with that. It's all good. Not to say that it wouldn't be nice to see something like that, but I think it's just one of the things where, and a lot of the other sci-fi stuff, you don't really have too many games out there. There are some, but not too many that are doing those space battles.
No, you're right. I mean, it's been, even Star Wars, which is much more connected to that sort of the lore, hasn't had a proper space battle game since, you know, Empire at War back in 2005 or whenever it is. So no, I definitely understand. It's just, I don't know.
Battlefront 2 has a space.
Yeah, I mean, it does, but it's still not, like, on the scale that I think a lot of us would like. It's just, I don't think I've ever seen healthier modding communities than the ones who make, you know, the Sins of the Prophets guys or the Halo mods. Like those guys are crazy dedicated and the fan base is pretty rabid. But I mean, I'm sure that 343 has done the, you know, analysis and their business sense guys have taken a look at it. I understand that there was some leaked concept art which used some Sins of the Prophets assets. It was just meant for internal use only. So we know that they've at least thought of, you know, doing this, but did you see that? It was like
I missed the leak part. I heard about it. I didn't look into it that much though.
Yeah, so there was an image and it was apparently only meant for internal use only, but one of the artists or something accidentally posted it and then, you know, removed it. I think he thought that he was allowed to, but he wasn't. And I could be getting some of this wrong, so anybody listening, like, don't rely too heavily on what I'm saying, but It basically used a bunch of assets from Sins of the Prophets, which is fine because, again, it was only meant to, you know, represent a concept. And it was kind of just like a space battle, Covenant versus UNSC, a bunch of capital ships. And rumors are, at least what I read, that it was supposed to be potential avenues for Halo Wars 2.
I could see that. I wonder how that RTS strategy works from a... Well, I mean, I guess Sins of the Prophets is kind of RTS anyways, as far as just ship combat. So I guess it's not too far out of the realm of what's currently been out there for Halo.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's just, I don't know, those guys are smart, and I think that they've definitely taken a look at the market and the cost that it would take to build all these new assets and everything, and it just must not be viable for whatever reason.
I see space battles really being covered through the novels, and it would make a great movie.
Yeah, absolutely. The space battles in the Halo games are fairly interesting, too. I mean, when you compare it with something, like, they're very kind of gritty, you know? It's like UNSC either one-shots the Covenant or they're dead. And, you know, that's very different than, like, you know, most sci-fi we see in movies where it's just, you know, two ships parked next to each other firing. So it'd be kind of interesting to see, you know, a more grounded military sci-fi take on something like this. But I really don't know if we ever do it. Every time like a new live action thing comes out, I'm always basically hoping and praying that we get these grand moments.
Because we've seen them in cutscenes.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm trying to think of what the best space battle cutscene would be, I guess.
Halo Wars 2, or Halo 2 Anniversary.
Yeah, the stuff at the beginning with the Cairo station was definitely pretty amazing.
Blur just needs to do a full feature film for Halo.
Any comment you look at of a Blur cutscene on YouTube? Blur is the law. That'll be the number one. And absolutely. I wonder how much, like, the Blur has got to be, like, they did some amazing stuff with Star Wars The Old Republic as well. And I know basically anything they touch
turns to gold.
it turns to gold. But I mean, they must be, the amount of money, like, how many minutes of cutscenes does Halo 2 have?
54 minutes, I think.
54, yeah. That's so around that, and that alone must have cost, you know, a disgusting amount of money. And
it would be, you just take one of the, take a Halo book that could fit in a film narrative, do it with Blur, you'll have a seller.
Oh, yeah.
You could have that like as a $20 movie, and you'd probably get a lot of Halo fans to buy it. I mean,
oh, I would.
After people buying Nightfall.
Oh god!
I have not bought Nightfall.
Me neither. No.
I have received Nightfall on multiple occasions because they're trying to get rid of them.
Here, see if you can give this away.
Yeah, it's all those. It's like those 343 goodie bags at all the events. It's like, here. Oh, of course, Nightfall's in here.
Wait, 343 has goodie bags?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I really want to meet some of the guys in person. Like, I'm fairly new at this, so I've never been to like an actual event, or certainly not to the studios or anything, but basically itching for a chance to kind of meet some of these people.
Do you go to any of the Comic-Cons or PAXs or
not yet? I'm in Eastern Canada, so like, oh, sorry, my dog's barking.
That's okay.
So I'm not super close to anything, but I mean, hopefully at some point I can. It's hard too when you're doing these daily videos, man. Like, it's like if you take a week off, like you're in trouble. I am an EA game changer, so when they were doing stuff for Star Wars Battlefront 2, I got to go there and like test the game out and stuff and capture footage like in the weeks before it released. And that was only like 3 days, and like my channel took a hit.
Well, I guess you get to see who your true fans really are.
Yeah, that's true. It's ultimately recoverable anyway, but it's so expensive too. But I mean, I would certainly love the opportunity to do something like that sometime, hopefully soon. I'd like to meet some of my viewers too.
Well, if you're ever out at PAX Prime or PAX West, or ever make it to an E3, I'm usually at one of those, and I can definitely get you introduced to people.
We'll grab a beer. That
sounds good. GT, you have any questions? I know I've been hogging the microphone for a little bit.
No, I'm pretty much getting all my questions answered without even asking them.
Yeah, I've been doing that on purpose.
He's reading my mind.
We've got a good guest host on. He's filling the role very well.
You read enough Star Wars, you start getting the very latent force abilities.
Oh. Are you Jedi mind-tricking us right now? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, you guys have been... I don't know if you've checked your Twitter account, but all you've been doing is spamming links to my my videos. So
what? What? You will tweet this video.
Yeah, that's the...
The Force is strong with this one, Obi-Wan.
Don't skip your school dances as a kid, and you too can have these powers.
There's worse things to skip.
I made most of mine. I'm just joking, but yeah, they're, you could do worse.
So when did you actually start your YouTube career, I guess?
So, I mean, as a kid, I always had, you know, I had back or small channels where I'd upload, you know, whatever, you know, as kids do. But with this channel, I started February of last year.
Oh, wow.
I was working another job, and then by about June or July, I had moved cities and I started I was working a job and my contract ran up and I was kind of had the decision of, do I do YouTube or do I do, you know, what I went to school for? So I applied for my dream job and I didn't get it. So I was moving cities and I figured, well, I'll do YouTube until I get a proper job, like a real job. And then, you know, I was like, why would I stop doing this? I get to work from home. I get to talk about imaginary spaceships all day. I'm supporting myself and my fiance, and that was that. And I guess since June, that's where I've been.
Okay. Very nice. So pretty recent endeavor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Super, super recent. It's been a learning experience, especially where, like, if you go watch my early videos, like, they're not good. I mean, I'm not saying my content is, you know, phenomenal or anything, but, you know, it's interesting to be able to spend, you know, 8 hours a day dedicating yourself to trying to learn something that, you know, you'd never touched before. Before I started YouTube, the most experience I'd had with this stuff was, you know, Windows Movie Maker for school projects back in junior high or whatever.
Oh, I cringe when I go back and listen to my old recordings when I first started podcasting.
Oh, yeah. It's just like, the good thing is, you know, you do anything for long enough. Like, if you spend the time, you know, doing anything every day for a few months, eventually you get, you know, serviceable at it.
Yeah, and you get a lot better and you clean up a lot of the stuff that you work on. You just get into a rhythm.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like, it's basically all because of my early viewers who took kind of a risk on a channel that, you know, like, I clearly had the passion for it, but I didn't have the skill, and because they kind of believed in me, I was able to upgrade my computer and my microphone and spend the time getting better. And I wouldn't have been able to do that without those people that, you know, see a small YouTube channel and are willing to take a chance on it.
That's awesome. Well, it's awesome that you've made it this far, and it's cool to see comparison videos for Halo, because I don't think there's many other channels out that do that. I think there's been a couple other lore channels that have done like one-offs like this, but as far as something that you've done on a consistent basis, I haven't seen anything out there quite like what you've been doing.
Yeah, there's a few. I'd really like to. I'm kind of embarrassed to say that I don't really know any of the Halo YouTubers personally. Like, I know I've kind of had little chats with Hidden Xperia, but, you know, nothing like on an intimate level or anything. And yeah, I don't think I've had any conversations really with any Halo YouTubers. Like, so in the future, I'd kind of like to move further in that direction, if possible.
Sure. There's quite a few communities out there. You've got Hidden Experience, one of the big ones. You also have Toa Freak or Halo Cannon.
Yeah, I've seen all those guys, and yeah, they're all growing fairly well. Like, it's, there's not quite as much competition as there is in the Star Wars niche, because it's just because Halo is a slightly smaller market. But it's good to see that those guys are, you know, they seem to be good guys making content, and they clearly, like, they know much, much more than me. And they obviously have the passion and the skill, so that will take them far. So I don't know if any of you guys are listening, message me on Twitter and we'll get something started.
Yeah, they're out there.
Oh yeah,
you've got a good following too, so you've stuck with it, and you're also making great content out there. So I mean, kudos to you for sticking with it. And I know you're not directly in the Halo communities as far as the lore stuff go, but you have your own formula that you've developed and you're sticking with it, and you're making great videos. Yeah. I've been enjoying it. Erikibu is...
I really appreciate that, man.
Erikibu is well known within the Halo fan base as it is anyways.
Oh yeah, no, he's like, we've had chats before when I've, like, he's helped me research some of my videos. Like, I remember when I did one on the five greatest Spartan 2s. Before I posted that, I like ran my picks by him and thought what he thought, or I checked what he thought. And for the more recent video, the Spec Ops one, he helped me a lot with that. Like, he helped me choose the selections for that. Oh yeah, and I did one on, I really like, I don't like doing the top five lists just because they're kind of clickbaity in a way, but he helped me with, there was one on space weapons that he, that was before I got, that was like the day before I got Halo Warfleet, so he sent me some key info for that. Sent me pictures of some of the pages.
That's good.
Copyright infraction.
Oh
yeah, totally. Oh shit, he told me not to tell anybody.
Game content usage.
Oh, it might not have been him. He sent it to me. Sorry, the cops are knocking on your door right now. It's Frankie and I don't know, Frank O'Connor and Master Chief are at your door right now.
But let's just put it this way. He ended up buying the book anyway, so it didn't matter.
That's right. That's right. I don't remember why I was so late buying it, if it was just a money thing or whatever, but... Oh, he got the book early. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know, but whenever a new reference book comes out, they're always so expensive. So it's like, do I wait and be behind in the content, or
wait for the sale to come?
Yeah,
wait for it to get knocked down a little bit.
It's also like you can never get that stuff in ebook form, which is my preferred method when I'm doing videos, because you can like
search,
use content and search and stuff.
A couple of the other ones from the lore stuff, because I actually pulled up the Centennial Cannon Fodder, which has quite a few. I don't know if you've heard of any of these. Podcast Evolved, Halo Nation, Halopedia, Covenant Cannon, For Dawn to Dawn, Halo Archive, Herspice. Those are the other additional ones from the Cannon Fodder.
Yeah, I've talked to some of the Halopedia, got like one of the admins from Halopedia. They're all really good guys. I really like appreciate the guys who, you know, work on the CIA, his name is, Eric says in the chat. I really appreciate what those guys do. I mean, it's so much work. Like, I contribute to the Star Wars Wikipedia, but I don't think I've really done anything for the Halo 1. It's so helpful. Like, for example, like I'm trying really hard to find the size of the Covenant fleet for when I'm for like just how many ships the Covenant had for one of my videos. And I just couldn't. I checked Halo Wiki, and I saw that there was a reference to a fleet at the end of Fall of Reach. And then, you know, that kind of put me in the right direction. I read that book, and it's like, oh, it gives you a brief idea. Without people, you know, kind of organizing and sorting that data, it would be so much less accessible to ordinary fans. But also, you know, people like me. Like, I try not to rely on the wikis too much, but I mean, of course, sometimes, you know, you forget things, or, you know, you need to remember what book it's from. Like, those guys are the lifeblood of the community, especially the lore communities. And Eric says 343 relies on Halopedia sometimes. Like, I don't doubt that. I know that, like, the Star Wars Wiki is one of the better ones, and I know that one of the writers for, you know, one of the recent books showed that, like, the first tab they opened any time they went to Google Chrome was Star Wars Wiki.
There's a lot out there. The Halo universe is a growing universe, which is one of the reasons why I'm a big fan of it, is because there is just so much out there. And not just from the lore perspective, but you have a whole bunch of different other communities, from multiplayer to racing, to Forge, to the novels, to toy collectors, to cosplayers.
Yeah.
There's a lot out there.
The Forge community continues to impress me. Like, the things that these guys managed to do. Like, hopefully when Halo 6 comes out, it has a fully featured, very powerful Forge mode. Because just the, I don't know, like, the things that these guys can do are crazy. You know, making rudimentary computers in the system and whatnot.
The scripting system that they've put in there is really powerful.
Yeah. It's like with the Minecraft Redstone stuff. Like, it's crazy. So I'm excited to see what, with Halo 6, what we get.
Me too. It's going to be one interesting game with everything that they've done with Halo 5, all the improvements that they've made. It's going to be awesome. For me, the biggest letdown to Halo 5 was the campaign.
Yeah, me too. I lost a lot of interest in some aspects of the lore.
I don't blame you. What we got in the launch up to Halo 5 with all the things that they did to promote it didn't quite match what came out of the game.
It's just the... Tonally, I think the series is a lot different, which is fine because you can only tell so many stories that are similar. Halos 1 through 3 and Reach and ODST were kind of more grounded military sci-fi with, you know, a little bit of the fantastic with the Forerunner, and then they kind of changed that a little bit with Halo 4 and then even more drastically with Halo 5. But I mean, that's fine. It's not necessarily the way I would have handled the series, but I mean, you've basically told Master Chief's story by the end of Halo 3, so something had to be done to kind of switch up the narrative. And I don't want to rag on 343 or anything, because again, like I said at the beginning, and I think you guys echoed, like, they've got a monumental task, and what they do with the story in Halo 6 is going to be, I'm curious to see where it goes from here.
Yeah, me too. There's also a lot of open ends through the novels that have been left open that could be explored as well.
Yeah, the Halo EU is fairly healthy, I think.
Really healthy.
Like, the comics seem to be, I don't catch all of them, but they seem to be fairly high quality. The books are, you know, some books are better than others, but generally I think, you know, they're what you expect for a large... It's crazy. I mean, like, look back at when the Halo books first started being released. You know, half the cover was an Xbox sticker. Like, they were clearly made to promote the game. And to a degree, they still are, but it's kind of developed into its own thing now, which, like, some people are much more into the Halo novels and the, you know, the EU stuff than the actual game stories. When at the beginning, you know, it's... Thankfully, the books were very good, but, you know, they were clearly made to promote the product. So I think we got lucky that we have such a healthy, you know, ecosystem here.
There's plenty to choose from.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's something for everyone, which is nice. And I mean, if you don't like the official lore stuff, like, there's, like, I mean, my buddy used to write fan fiction on the Bungie.net forums, and, you know, I know that if you are interested in the universe, there's a place in the community for you, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on Reddit, whether it's, you know, on whatever Halo fan site or within whatever book or whatever video game, or there's room for everyone, which is, you know, really nice about Halo.
It really helps to foundationalize the community, the fan base for the game. And I'll say it again and again. It's one of the reasons why I love the Halo community. And why keep playing Halo, and I'm still interested in it to this day.
Absolutely. I mean, think about all the video game series that come and go. Like, you know, like, I mean, it's just, there's something, you know, you need that community there for the lasting power. There's been so many sci-fi series, the Kill Zones, the whatever else, that, you know, they just kind of fizzle out. And that could have been Halo, but thankfully it's been well established, and, you know, there's something truly special there, and I do mean that.
There certainly is. GT, you got any remaining questions you can think of?
No, I can't.
All right, well, I know we've picked your brain quite a bit. Thank you for being on the show. It's been a pleasure having you on and talking with you.
It's been an absolute pleasure being on. I've been really excited to, like, since we started talking, I've been really excited to get on this podcast, so maybe we can do it again in the future, because I had a real good time.
I'd love to.
Shooting the stuff on Halo. My favorite things in the whole world.
yeah, maybe we could do something in the future where we could do a discussion on a comparison video, maybe time up a comparison that you have. And
that's exactly what I was
thinking. Get a little bit of a round table going and have a nice discussion. Maybe Eric Kibu can hop on again.
Oh, has he been on before?
I thought he's been on at least once. I can't remember. He says he's never been, so he'll make a debut appearance on the podcast. He's
first time for everything.
Yeah. No, this has been really great to have you on. Your videos, I've been watching all the Halo ones, obviously, because I'm Halo, so I haven't watched all your Star Wars ones, but
I wouldn't watch all my Star Wars ones. So many.
I mean, you've been uploading one every single day for the past who knows how long. All the Halo ones that I've watched are really great, well produced, and I think it's worth people checking out at least. If you're looking for a little bit of a fresh perspective on some of the Halo stuff, and if there's other sci-fi universes that you're interested in. So I guess really quick before we wrap it up, what's kind of your full gambit of sci-fi? Because I know you're primarily Star Wars and Halo, but what's some of the other sci-fi franchises that you focus on?
So I do Halo, Star Wars. Like I said, I'd say Star Wars makes about 90% of my content, but I'll also talk Mass Effect on occasion, Battlestar Galactica. But I have a really close group of YouTubers. Space Doc is one. He focuses on the ships. The Templin Institute, he focuses on the various factions. And then the other Star Wars YouTubers that I work with. So between all of us, you know, I'll get the occasional Babylon 5 stuff or, you know, a Star Trek video or Stargate or whatever. But I mean, me personally, I tend to keep it to Mass Effect, Halo, Star Wars. And then I'll like do occasionally a random movie. Like I did one on the Iron Giant, one on Independence Day, and recently I did a War of the Worlds one as well. That was actually a Halo one. It was Scarab from Halo versus the Tripod from War of the Worlds.
Very nice. Oh yeah, I missed that one.
Yeah, I think it was maybe last week. I don't think it did very well, so that like helps determine whether YouTube is likely to show it to you or not. I will warn you, if we do kind of do one of these roundtable versus discussions, be prepared to hate each other because they get heated, at least in my comment section.
We've had some good discussions on the podcast before. We've had some roundtables discussing different aspects of games or books or lore or whatever. So we usually keep it pretty civil.
You guys are 600 plus episodes in, I mean, among the various hosts, so I don't think a simple conversation is going to be enough to kill it.
At least we hope not. No, I'm sure it'd be fine. So you are on YouTube primarily, Eckhart's Ladder, on Twitter and Facebook as well. Where else can people find you?
Yeah, mostly YouTube, but yeah, also Twitter. I've got a second channel on YouTube, which I've just started posting. You can find links to all of that stuff on my main channel. But, you know, also my Discord. We've got, I think we've got about 4,000 members now, and we've got a Halo channel, which is very active. Maybe not quite 4,000, Eric says 3,500, but some good discussion there. And in the coming weeks, I'm going to really be promoting that. And I'd like Halo to kind of be a big community feature of the Discord. So if you guys are interested in that, or just Star Wars, or talking to nerds, or myself, I'm reachable there. You can find that at discord.gg/Eckhart's Ladder.
Ah, you got one of the sponsored servers, or not sponsored, but partnered servers. Very nice.
Yeah, in the coming weeks, I just gained like the kind of the next level up. It's like premium sponsor, so they're going to be helping us promote the server on a bit of a wider scale.
Very nice. So make sure you check him out on all the social media platforms. I'm going to join your server right now, actually.
Awesome, man. I'll message me later, and I'll make sure that we get you a special rank. Eric's a mod. He can do that.
He should see me in there already.
He's very active on the server, so.
Yeah, I can tell. You've called him out in a few Halo videos already, so.
I have, yeah.
All right. Well, for the remaining wrap-up of news, there's some community updates that we'll touch on before we completely wrap up. It looks like Halo Reach detail stats on Waypoint are actually going to be going away on March 1st. You can still get them in-game, but with some of the updates to their privacy policy, that actually violate some of that stuff, and it's running on legacy hardware. So they're going to be shutting that down as far as the web access to the detailed stats on March 1st. You can still get the detailed stats in-game. You just will not be able to get it through the website.
It's always so cool how Bungie had like the heat maps and like the degree of stats that you could get was like definitely one of my favorite things about Halo 3. I remember like waking up and being like, oh, my kill-death ratio is only 1.01. I can't have a bad day today.
It would be nice if they kind of kept some of those stats throughout some of the games. And I know there's a lot of computational power that is driven towards doing that kind of stuff. But from a community perspective, I think that really helps. And especially if you're looking at Forge, and I know there's not as much focus on Forge for competitive now as there was back in Halo 3, because Halo 3 really utilized some community forgers to make some of those competitive maps. For forgers that would be making competitive maps, it would be nice to have those heat maps to determine, okay, maybe I need to change a couple of these things with my,
yeah, exactly,
my map flow or whatever.
Maybe we need a wall here because people are getting sniped across the map.
Maybe Halo 6 stuff. Who knows?
Maybe.
I forget if we announced this on the podcast. I know we retweeted it when it was first announced. So if I haven't mentioned it on the podcast, my apologies. But the Forge Hub Grand Prix contest has been live since January 19th. Submissions are due February 19th. It is basically a... what's the word I'm looking for? It's making race maps, but it's focused more on the aesthetics of the tracks. Obviously, it still has to be functional, but the judging is going to be based on how it looks. There's some well-known judges that are going to be in there. Bacon Media, Decane23, Shoddy Person, and Sir Iron Wolf. Some of the information as far as the intricate details on submission requirements are over at ForgeHub.com. And again, submissions are open until Monday, February 19th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. And then the judging will be starting at the final week of February, probably with an announcement in early March. First place gets $250, second place $150, and third place $100.
That's no joke.
Nope.
Dude, I would highly recommend you go check out the trailer for the competition, because they put some serious work into that.
It's pretty cool, I will admit. Forge Hub actually does a pretty good job for their contests of really making good promotional assets. They've had a few other competitions and contests in the past where they've had trailers, and they put some good work into it. So definite kudos to them for keeping up with doing the contests for Forgers.
They've been around forever, too.
They've been around since the Halo 3 days.
It's forever in terms of video gaming.
Well, forever in terms of Halo, too, because I mean, that's been more than half of Halo's lifespan.
They used to have a pretty active YouTube channel, didn't they?
They did. They had some Forge tutorials at the beginning of Halo 5's lifespan, but those kind of quickly died off as well, I think.
Didn't they, in the Reach days, used to like have a weekly map and stuff, too? Or yes. Am I thinking of a different...
They had it, and another...
Defend the House, maybe? Did they have it, too? Or
Halo Customs used to have features for Forge maps during Halo 4, I think. Defend the House did the Mythbusters stuff.
Mythbusters, yeah. I thought they did... For some reason, I thought they did map highlights, too. But I remember... When Reach came out, I used to watch a lot of videos of cool maps and stuff.
Reach was, aside from the dull palette of colors...
Oh my god, yeah.
Reach was the first game that actually had a really good, intricate Forge system. And granted, Halo 4 was left a lot to be desired, but Halo 2 Anniversary really set a lot of groundwork for Forge and Halo 5, which I know a lot of people knock Halo 2 Anniversary pretty hard for Forge, but... Let's be honest. Because of it, it laid a lot of groundwork for what they did in Halo 5 Forge. It really did.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully that all will bring us something great in Halo 6. And
as long as we launch Forge with Halo 6 when it launches, I think the community will be happy.
Do you think there will be the Windows tie-in for Halo 6? Like on Forge, like the ability to make maps on PC?
maybe post launch. Well, they might support Forge on PC out the box, but they're going to be trying to force the game on the Xbox platform, I think. So maybe a delayed release, or maybe a closed. Well, let me put it this way. They'll probably give that Halo 6 Forge tools to kind of the known forgers and do kind of like
get people hyped and
and test the capabilities. It's like, okay, we know you guys know how to use Forge tools. You can make maps for us using Windows, and we'll release it to the rest of the community after you guys have time to break it in, basically.
Yeah. Give it to you guys and we'll let you break it, and then we'll fix it, and then we'll give it to everybody.
It's still pretty cool that you have Halo 5 multiplayer for free on Windows, though. I mean, that is nice. It's not matchmaking, and there's no Warzone and campaign, but still, for free, it's pretty nice. All they had to do was add keyboard and mouse support, and that's kind of the difference between Xbox and Windows, because Xbox is basically Windows 10, just a custom shell of it. The last piece of news for us to discuss is Halo Wars 2, as of today, is now part of the Xbox Game Pass. So if you have that subscription, then you can play Halo Wars 2 as part of it. I don't think it's the full deluxe edition. I think it's just the base edition.
Still pretty good for a new service. And I think Game Pass is going to be the trend that we see. I mean, I think it's going to work out well for Microsoft.
Yeah, there's a lot of retailers that aren't very happy, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but Blockbuster wasn't happy when Netflix started gaining popularity.
That's
either.
That's very true.
The way of the world.
Very true.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way that people are consuming media now.
It is.
And, you know, it's just expanding to include video games. You know, people are, you know, the big difference is, you know, in a video game, you actually download the game. You're not streaming the game. And, you know, it's also part of the reason Gamefly is so popular. Because there's people out there that they just want to play games. I've got one friend that the only reason he plays games is to get gamer score. That's his whole purpose to playing video games on Xbox.
I have one of those friends too. Well, we're not really talk much anymore, but back in the Halo Reach and Halo 4 days, I used to play with him a lot, and he was actually, as far as GamerScore leaderboard, he was 12th in the world for GamerScore.
Well, this guy, before he got reset because Microsoft decided he had to be cheating, was in the top 10.
Yikes. That sucks. He had to get reset.
Poor guy. That must have been devastating.
Oh, it was. I think after that, he pretty much gave up on it.
I wouldn't be able to restart.
I don't know that he ever got back into it.
I don't blame him.
But yeah, he had a Gamefly subscription, and he would get a game, and he would go through and just grind it out and get every achievement in the game and then send it back. And he's a good video game player, because, I mean, most games, 2 days max, and he would have all the achievements. You know, unless it had a bunch of timed-based achievements in it.
The Halo, the Chief Collection has some pretty rough ones, doesn't it? Isn't there some, like the Vidmaster ones? It's like...
There's some rough ones
in
there.
Play blindfolded with your feet.
Yeah. One of them is, you know, complete every campaign on Lasso.
That's what it was, Lasso, not Vidmaster, yeah.
Yeah, you know, well, I mean, even some of the Vidmasters made it into the achievement hunt for Master Chief Collection. And it's, I mean, you complete all the achievements in Master Chief Collection, you have accomplished a great and difficult task.
Yeah, it must be under 1% of people.
Oh, I'm sure it's under 0.01% of people.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, 1% is fairly high, yeah.
Because there's a few just campaign achievements that I've gotten recently that aren't that hard to get, but it's been like 0.6% of people that have gotten achievement.
The bulk of the achievements in Master Chief Collection are rare achievements, because under 5% of the population that plays Halo or the Master Chief Collection has it.
I'm determined to get Lazo at some point, though. So the friend I have, he's ranked 240 right now. He used to be like number 12 back in 2012, but I did a search for just leaderboards for gamer score. The number one person right now is Stallion83. He has 1.7 million gamer score.
Jeez Louise, I'd be putting that on my resume, I'm sorry. I'd be applying to be like a
game tester,
mechanic, and I'd be putting that on my resume. No, just anything. Applying for this lawyer job, well, I have the most gamer points in the world. Dedication, dexterity, intelligence, I don't know.
Not a bad argument. A quick update on our Spartan company. We still have 3 of them at level 4. Forget to pay the toll. Still need another 20. That's our closest level 4. Still needing to kill lots of Marines. We still need another 2,961 to get to level 5 for that one. Closest level 5 we have to being completed is kill an enemy Spartan with a ground pound. We need another 405 for that one. And at the very bottom of the list is, yeah, sorry, mate, kill Marines. Still on level 4. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. For all the new folks that came over from Eckhart's Ladder, thanks for tuning into our podcast tonight. We record on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Hope to see you back here. We talk about Halo news, community updates. We'll be talking about some of the Halo World Championship stuff as it becomes a little more relevant here in the coming weeks. We'll be getting some new guests on. We're actually doing another book this month. We're doing Legacy of Onyx, and Gallery Books is actually partnering with us to give away some books. We're still working out the details of that, so we'll be giving away a few copies of Legacy of Onyx and Smoke and Shadow over the next couple of weeks. And I believe the week of the 19th is when we're going to try to do that book as a podcast. So if you have the book, read up on it, get refreshed, and we'll be discussing it during that week. So that would technically be the 22nd of February. Check us out on all of our social media platforms. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitch, Mixer, Xbox Club, Spartan Company, all that stuff. If we have it, just search for Podtacular and you will find it. Make sure you check out our podcast network. We're part of a network of gaming-specific shows, including Critscast, which is a TF2 podcast, Podcast 76, which is an Overwatch podcast, Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, The Learning Cliff, which is an EVE Online podcast, and then Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. You can check out all of those podcasts over at thepodcast.com. I want to give one final thanks to Justin for coming onto the show. It's been a pleasure having you on.
Pleasure's been all mine.
Thanks for being our first guest of 2018.
Well, thanks for having me. It was, as I said, a great honor and pleasure.
We'll be greatly anticipating the next time we'll get to have you on the show. Again, everyone, make sure you go check out his YouTube channel and Discord and follow him on social media. And we will catch you all next week.